Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today is Wednesday, May 1st, 2019, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly lunch and learn. After a Pesach break, we are back. Hope everyone had a nice Pesach. And time to study Parshat Acharei Mot. Just a brief note that this Shabbat we have a scholar in residence, Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, who's going to be speaking on Shabbat afternoon, why Rabbi Soloveitchik did not become Chief Rabbi of Israel. And on Sunday morning, he is going to be speaking on Shai Agnon. He is an expert on Shai Agnon. He oversaw the translation of all of Shai Agnon's work to English, brand new translations through the Agnon House. And that's on Sunday morning. So spread the word to anyone who'd be interested in coming. I think 9:15.
Where? Here?
Here. Okay? So 9:15 in the morning. Get up early, have a cup of coffee, come get a bagel, and come hear about Shai Agnon. Okay. So today, Parshat Acharei Mot. Everyone has the sheet in front of them. We're going to look at two psukim, and we're going to see various interpretations of one word, and which is going to then help us understand another word in the following verse. So, because that the next parsha is kedoshim, so sometimes they're together. Sometimes they're together. And there's also this notion of acharei mot kedoshim, after the death of the kedoshim, which could be referring to Yom HaShoah, which is always around this time, or Aaron's sons. That's what we're talking about, acharei mot of Aaron's sons. Right? Okay. So, here we go. We're in the psukim you have in front of you in source number one on the source sheet are from Vayikra, Leviticus, Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Dalet and Hey, chapter 18, verse 4 and 5, for those of you who are following along at home. Et mishpatai ta'asu, v'et chukotai tishmiru. My rules alone you shall observe, and faithfully follow my laws. Lalechet bahem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Follow my laws, I the Lord am your God. Ushmartem et chukotai v'yeshmitpatai asher yaseh otam ha'adam. You shall keep my laws and my rules, by the pursuit of which v'chai bahem, by the pursuit of which man shall live. Ani Hashem, I am the Lord. So, I'm interested here in a few things. One is really the focus is on v'chai bahem. What does this idea? What does this mean? That says you shall keep my laws and my rules, v'chai bahem, and you shall live by them. Ani Hashem. What is that life? What life is that talking about? What type of promise is the Torah providing when it says that if you follow the rules, the chukim and the mishpatim, v'chai bahem, you shall live by them? Is it a promise? Is it a statement of fact? What does this v'chai bahem mean? Well, we say that already, right? It says that at the beginning, you shall keep my laws, my rules, right? Ushmartem et chukotai, v'yet mishpatai, asher yaseh otam, that you do, v'chai bahem. And you shall live by them. What's the difference between keeping them and living by them?
The keep is more ruchani.
Is more what?
Ruchani.
Yeah,
to keep it is more ruchani, where v'chai bahem is more...
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Good. Okay. Could be.
Does it mean to live by them, not to do something that might harm you? In other words, you obey the laws unless.
Excellent. Okay. So I was going to save that a little bit to the end, but since Marilyn brought it up, let's look on page two. Page two, this is a famous interpretation of this psukim from the Masechet Avodah Zarah, page 2, source number 4. The Gemara asks, and what would Ben Dama have said? What verse did he intend to cite as proof that it was permitted for him to be healed by a heretic? The Gemara, earlier in the conversation, was talking about whether or not one is allowed to accept medical attention from a kofer, from a heretic. Okay? And Dama, there's a story told about this person, Dama, in the Talmud, who in fact does accept medical attention from the heretic. So the question is, well, if we're already questioning whether or not you're allowed to do that, what type of support does Dama have for, in fact, accepting this medical attention? So the Gemara says, Umay have le lemeimar. And what would he have said? Meaning, how would he have defended his position? In source number 4, Dalet. The English is much longer than the Hebrew. The answer is, V'chaibahem, from our pasuk. You see, it says right there, Vayikra yudchet hey, Leviticus 18:5. The verse, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my ordinances, which if a man do, he shall live by them. V'lo sheyamut bahem. This teaches that one should live by God's mitzvot, and not that he should die by them. This verse serves as a source for the halakha that one may violate a prohibition in order to save a life. So you're exactly right, Marilyn. This is the source, the famous source that many of us are familiar with. Many of us are familiar with the rule. We may not be familiar with the source that you're allowed to break halakha in order to save life, almost in every circumstance. This is the source for it, right? V'chai bahem, you shall live by them. V'lo sheyamut bahem, the mitzvot should not be a source of death. They should be a source of life. Exactly. Good. Everyone's on the ball today, because the next source is exactly about Shabbat. It's one of the examples from the Mishneh Torah, from the Rambam's rulings on Shabbat, Perek Bet Halacha Gimel, source number 5 on page 2. Kishosim divarim ha'elu eino sinotam lo alidei nachrim v'lo alidei ketanim v'lo alidei avadim v'lo alidei nashim kidei shelo tehei Shabbat kala be'enehem. These things should not be performed by Jews, minors, servants, or women, lest they consider the Shabbat a light matter. Instead, scholars and sages of Israel and carry them out. Meaning, when you are going to break Shabbat, if you're going to break Shabbat in order to save a life, who should do it? The rabbi should do it. So that everyone knows that this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, but if the doctor is a non-Jew...
We're not talking about that. Now, we're talking about if someone has to go to the hospital on Shabbos. If a Jewish person has to break Shabbos, obviously you don't wait for the rabbi to come. But if it needs to be done and the rabbi's there, that's who should do it, right? Obviously, if there's a non-Jewish doctor, and no other doctor or even a Jewish doctor, you take the best doctor. We're talking about a situation where a kid breaks their arm in the parking lot and they got to drive to the hospital. So the rabbi should drive them to the hospital. Right, so every maybe breaking the arm is not such a great example. Well, the point is, it should be clear that this is what one has to do, right? Ela al yedei gedolei Yisrael va'asur lehitmameya b'chilul Shabbat. One must not put off the desecration of Shabbat lechole sheyesh bo sakana in treating a serious patient, as it says. And he quotes our pasuk again: sheyesh bo sakana shenemar asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem. If a man obeys them, he shall live by them. Right? V'lo she'amut bahem, and he must not die from them. Hala madita she'ein mishpatei haTorah nikama ba'olam ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam. This is a very famous passage from the Rambam. From this you may infer that the laws of the Torah are not meant to wreak vengeance upon the world, but to bestow on it mercy, kindliness, and peace. V'ilu ha'apikorsim she'omrim shezeh chilul Shabbat, concerning those non-believers who say that administering such treatment constitutes a violation of the Shabbat, v'asur, and it is forbidden, alehen hakatuv omer, about them, we apply the verse from Yechezkel, gamani natati lehem chukim, lo tovim, umishpatim, lo yichyu bahem. As punishment, I gave them harmful laws and judgments through which they cannot live. Meaning, if you're going to disregard this notion of v'chai bahem, then yeah, you're going to pay the price. And it's going to be as if the rules are there to hurt you. But that's not the view actually of an apikores. That's a very strong language, the Rambam. That's heretical, non-believer, right? When one disregards this rabbinic teaching. So Marilyn, you hit the nail on the head. This is the famous source for the well-known rule that when it comes to, let's say, Shabbat or other things too, you break the rule of the Torah in order to save someone's life.
That's why we say that our Torah is Torah Chaim.
Exactly. That's what the Rambam says in the language here. Halamadata, she'ein mishpitei ha-Torah nikama ba'olam hazeh, ela rachamim v'chesed v'shalom ba'olam.
Does it have to be life-threatening?
Not necessarily life-threatening. It could be potentially life-threatening. There are also allowances for losing a limb or losing your eye. There are all sorts of right. There are all sorts of halachot. Okay, right, right. Easy for you to say. It's like saying it's minor surgery. You know when it's minor surgery, when someone else is having it. Right. Okay. Excellent, Marilyn. Let's go back to page one, and we'll see another interpretation of this pasuk. This time from Rashi. Okay. So Rashi says as follows. This is source number two. Et mishpatai ta'asu, elu divarim ha'amurim batara b'mishpat, she'ilu lo ne'emru, hayu, everyone's okay here, don't worry, she'ilu lo ne'emru, hayu kedai la'omran. This is the fascinating explanation of Rashi. What does mishpatai mean? Matters prescribed in the Torah, which are in conformity with the human feelings of justice, such as one feels ought to be ordained if they had not been already ordained by the Torah. Things like murder. Had the Torah said, do not murder, we would have probably figured on our own to have a rule that says, do not murder. That's what mishpatim are. Mishpatim are things in the Torah that we, again, as it says, if they had not already been ordained in the Torah, the Hebrew is probably better, she'ilu lo ne'emru, hayu kedai la'omran. Right? Had they not been said, we would have said them on our own. And here he's quoting a midrash, which we'll get to in a little while. And what does v'chai bahem mean? Turn the page. V'chai bahem. This is Rashi on the top of page two, source number three. La'olam haba. What does this mean, that you will live by them? You'll be rewarded for them in Olam Haba. It can't mean in this world you're going to live, because everyone dies. So don't misread the pasuk and say, well, if you keep the mitzvot, you'll live forever. So far, no one has lived forever. Right? Everyone dies. Also, people who keep the mitzvot die. So it can't mean that you're going to live forever, because in the end, we must die. So what does it mean, v'chai bahem? It means that Olam Haba. So these are two very different interpretations. Rashi's interpretation on V'chai Bahem is that if you follow these rules, you'll be rewarded in Olam Haba. That's not a new idea. We're all familiar with the idea, right? Of Schar Va'onesh, reward and punishment, and the reward we are given for following the mitzvot is not in this world, but the reward we get for following the mitzvot is in the world to come. On the other hand, the Gemara has a very different interpretation. V'chai bahem is not about, it's not telling us what's going to happen, it's actually an imperative. It's a command. Right here, v'chai bahem, according to Rashi, is a promise. According to the Gemara, it's not a promise, it's an expectation. V'chai bahem, make sure that you interpret the rules in such a way so that you know when you're supposed to break them in order to save life. So very, very different ways of looking at V'chai Bahem. Okay. To wrap up Rashi, I'll show you. We'll go to page number three, which is our final interpretation, but it's going to be our second to last source, but it's going to offer a number of different interpretations. First, he quotes Rashi, and he gives us Rashi's source. Okay? So this is on page three, source number six, which says Ramban. Et mishpatai ta'asu, carry out my ordinances, which man shall carry out, and which he shall live. So you see it says, Elu divarim ha'amurim batara kemishpat, she'ilu lo nemru kidai hayula omran, lashon Rashi. He quotes Rashi here, okay, that these are the matters that are stated in the Torah justly, matters which even if they had not been stated in the Torah, it would have been appropriate for humans to state them on their own. Meaning, in keeping with human understanding about what's proper justice. Okay? Lashon Rashi. And then he tells us Rashi's source. Uvatarat kohanim elu divarim haktuvim betorah she'ilu lo nichtavu bedin hayu lechatvan. And it's stated in Torah Kohanim, a midrash, these are the things that are written in the Torah, which even if they had not been written in the Torah, would have been necessary for us to write ourselves. Kigon ha-gezelot, va-arayot, va-avodazara, ushvichut damim, v'kilalat Hashem. Such as the prohibitions against robbery, sexual immorality, idolatry, murder, and cursing. So Rashi didn't quote the whole midrash. Rashi only quoted the beginning of the midrash. And the Ramban, just for the sake of giving us the whole story, quotes Rashi's source. Rashi almost always is quoting a midrash as the source of his commentary. Now the Ramban offers a different interpretation, which I don't want to get into now. I want to get into, I want to offer now the Ramban's interpretation, which I think is really, really very interesting. Okay, so first he quotes Rashi, and then he says v'al derech hapshat. So that the first thing that tells you is that he doesn't think that Rashi is pshat. Pshat is the plain, straightforward reading of the verse. The plain, straight reading of the verse is not according to the Ramban the way that Rashi sees it. Rashi probably saw that as the plain, straightforward meaning of the verse, but the Ramban, he disagrees. The Ramban disagrees. He quotes Rashi, doesn't say that Rashi's wrong. Sometimes he'll quote someone else, he'll say, I don't agree with that person. That doesn't make any sense. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, I don't think Rashi's pshat. And we know there are different levels, variety of ways to interpret psukim. Some of them are straightforward. Some of them are midrashic. Some of them are Kabbalistic. Some of them, and so here, the Ramban is simply saying, I don't think Rashi's pshat. What is pshat? He says, v'al derech hapshat, but according to the plain way of interpretation, mishpatai, the word mishpatai, kimashma'am hadinim ha'amurim b'parashat ve'ele ha'mishpatim uvichol ha'torah. What does this phrase mishpatai mean? It refers here in their usual connotation, namely the civil laws that are stated mainly in the section beginning, and these are the ordinances, right? The parsha of Mishpatim, that you shall place before them in Shemot, as well as throughout the rest of the Torah. So what's going on here? The Torah says, Es Mishpatai Ta'asu. We're only going to focus on the word Mishpatai. You have to keep the rules. Which rules? Civil law. Don't steal. Put out your garbage. Don't hit people. Just be a mensch. Be a normal civil, a civil human being. Okay, that's what mishpatai means. So without looking ahead, now we have to figure out the next. What does v'chai bahem then mean? Right? According to Rashi, mishpatai is the rules, and v'chai bahem means you'll be rewarded for it. Great. According to the Gemara, and it's not just Rashi, it's the rabbis in the Mishnah. According to the Gemara, another group of rabbis, Mishpatai are the rules, but V'chai Bahem says when those rules need to be broken. They need to be broken when keeping them is gonna cost you your life. That's the Gemara, V'chai Bahem, right? That's the Gemara. So V'chai Bahem, according to the Gemara, is live by them, don't die by them. V'chai Bahem, according to Rashi, is you're going to be rewarded. What do you think V'chai Bahem means according to the Ramban, who says that the rules are referring to civil law? The Mishpatim, general civil law. What does V'chai Bahem What could v'chai behem mean? And you shall live by them.
In Limud Torah, tefillah, things that has to do more with the spirit.
But he's saying, no, he's saying, because of the mishpatim, v'chai behem. So what type of life is the Torah telling us we're going to get by following the mishpatim? According to Rashi, it's not on this world. What?
A normal state.
Ah, exactly. Excellent. Which is no small thing, according to the Ramban. So let's keep reading. Ulekach yomar, you'll have a civilized society to live in. If you follow these rules, you'll have a civil society to live in. Let's continue the Ramban, second line from the bottom, above the footnotes. Ulekach yomar, asher yaseh otam ha'adam, v'chai bahem. And therefore, scripture states here, which man shall carry out, and by which he shall live. What does that mean? Ki hadinim nitnu, turn the page, l'chayei ha'adam b'yishuv ha'medinot uv'shalom ha'adam, v'shalo yazik ishet reyehu, v'lo yimotenu. For the civil laws were given in order to facilitate the life of man in the functioning of societies, and for peacefulness between people, and to ensure that no man should injure his fellow or kill him. The Ramban is very nice. It's very pshat. What does it mean? Just follow the rules. And what are you going to get out of it? Well, if everyone follows the rules, that means you could walk down the street without fear of being hurt. You could live your life without fear. Live in your house without fear of someone barging in and stealing your stuff or doing any damage to you. V'chai behem is not like Rashi, where he's promising you some everlasting reward in Olam Haba. V'chai behem is very simple. If you create a society where there's civil law, you'll be able to live a normal life. You're not going to feel like you're hunted all the time. You're not going to feel you have to protect yourself all the time.
You wouldn't need a gun.
Right, exactly. Right? And that's what he says. He says, V'chein Yecheskel, Hizkir Pa'amim Rabot. He says, similarly, Yecheskel mentions this type of life many times. Asher Ya'aseh Otam Adam V'chai Behem. Which man shall fulfill and live thereby. And he quotes Yecheskel, a few psukim. Uv'shabbatot Amar Le'ot Beni Benehem. Whereas in connection with Shabbat, he states, to be a sign between me and them. V'chein be'ezra u'mishpatecha chatu vam asher yaseh adam v'chai behem. And similarly, in the book of Ezra, we find, and they transgressed your ordinances, which man shall fulfill in order that he may live through them. So here you have the Ramban saying, no, pshat is very simple. The Torah is telling us, if you want to, the way to set up a society is to apply the mishpatim that are in the Torah, and that way you will be able to live a life without fear of being harmed by other people.
I think that l'chai behem means that you don't have to think every day like, oh, I have to do that because I was told that. Oh, I shouldn't do that. It should be like automatic
natural
part of your life.
Natural. Very nice. Beautiful. Very nice. That's lovely.
Cannot be. It's a utopia.
That's very nice. Okay. Now, but so this Ramban reminded me. This Ramban reminded me of something that the Rambam wrote in his Moreh Nevuchim. So the Ramban is Nachmanides. We just saw his Pshat. V'chai behem mishpatim are simple, the general civil laws. Let's keep those, and that way we'll be able to develop a society where people could live in peace. The Rambam, Maimonides, also discusses the purpose of the mitzvot, right? The Ramban was basically just telling us that the purpose of the mitzvot, at least the civil mitzvot, are to create a society where everyone could live in peace. The Rambam comes along and says something very similar, and we'll see it on the last source, which is on page, it's labeled page 4, source number 8. The Rambam from the Moreh Nevuchim says as follows. The general object of the law is twofold, right? This is a very well-known selection from the Rambam, where he tells us his view as to why God gave us the Torah. It's a pretty important thing to be familiar with, right? Why did God give us the Torah? Twofold. One, the well-being of the soul and the well-being of the body. That's already interesting in the case that the Rambam does not see the Torah solely, no pun intended, as something for the soul. Right? The Torah is also supposed to have some sort of effect, a positive effect, on our physical life, which probably means the Rambam says we should not eat gribbenets.
The fried chicken fat.
That's my own reading. That's my own reading. If the Rambam wants us to be healthy, you should not eat gribbenets. Okay, carrying on. The general object of the law is twofold: the well-being of the soul and the well-being of the body. The well-being of the soul is prompted by correct opinions communicated to the people according to their capacity. That's a religious thing, that you believe in proper things and you understand how God operates in the world. That's one, that's the soul. However, how does the Torah promote the well-being of the body? That's what the Rambam's going to get into now. The well-being of the body is established by a proper management of the relations in which we live one to another. This we can attain in two ways. First, by removing all violence from our midst. That is to say that we do not do everyone as he pleases, desires, and is able to do. But every one of us does that which contributes towards the common welfare. Secondly, by teaching every one of us such good morals as much produce a good social state. The true law, which as we said is one, and beside that which there is no other, the law of our teacher Moses has for its purpose to give us the twofold perfection. It aims first at establishing establishment of good mutual relations among men by removing injustice and creating the noblest feelings. In this way, the people in every land are enabled to stay and continue in one condition, and everyone acquires his first perfection. That's very much like the Ramban said. The purpose of the mitzvot is to create a society where everyone could live, and we don't have to worry about that. I've been walking down the street with a nice briefcase, and the guy next to me wants it, and he comes and hits me over the head and takes it. That's not a good society. We develop a society where people, what does the Rambam say? Where people, they're able to sublimate their negative desire to hurt people for the general good. Because if everyone did just whatever they wanted, it would be chaos.
Yeah, but in the simple ways, the interpretation of kashrut is also because of brilliant.
Well, the Rambam says that, but most disagree. But here the Rambam is talking about not every law in the Torah is going to create a just society. There are some rules of the Torah which are maybe only going to be towards the first purpose, which is the creation of proper opinions. But some of the laws of the Torah, many of them, are in order to
preserve
well-being. Not just good health, but just the general ability for a society to operate without people feeling that they're in fear. Now, it's important to note that in this chapter of the Rambam, he says that the first goal of the perfection of the soul is more important, and the second goal, perfection of society, is in service of the first goal. Meaning, why are we able to sit and have this class? Why are we able to sit and study Torah? Why are we able to take time off and do chesed? Because society operates in a way that gives us the ability to do these things. But if I'm living like a caveman, right, where I'm always worried that someone's going to kill me, I don't have time to perfect my soul. I don't have time to think about those things because I'm always worried about my physical well-being. But once my physical well-being is more or less, that basic need is more or less taken care of, then I could move on to higher needs, like studying Torah, contemplating the world, doing acts of kindness, right? All those other things that I could worry. It's like the pyramid of, the famous pyramid of needs. This is actually a very interesting thing to think about, because one could make the argument, we would hope that as society progresses, things get better, and right, lifespans get better, our health gets better. We're able to right? We're able to. For most of us, I was reading a book recently, where you know back in the days before automation, you spent your whole day making your food, cleaning your clothes, and taking care of your animals, and you had no time for anything else. Right now, it doesn't take us very long to make our food because we are able to have the food in our house, refrigerated, and then heat it up in our house. I don't have to go out to the field. I don't have to shech the chicken. Right. So those are the things where, as society progresses, we have more time to do other things. Along the same lines, I recently saw. I never thought about this before. Right, when all of our farming was done with livestock, 40% of the land was used to grow food for the animals that plowed your field. So you were 40% less productive. Now the whole field is used to produce food because the machines are doing. Right, so not everything that society produces helps us in those ways, but that's hopefully the way that hopefully that's the way the world progresses. And so the more that our well-being of body is looked after, we have more time to look after our soul. That's why they say so many famous Jews were shepherds, because shepherds have a lot of time on their hands. You're just walking around, then you sit and you let the sheep graze, and while they're grazing. You're writing Tehillim, right? You're David HaMelech, who was a shepherd. While the sheep are grazing, you're writing songs to God. So it's important. So that's the general idea that's going on here. So there is this relationship between the Ramban and the Rambam. Again, the Ramban says the Mishpatim are the rules that create a general and just society. And V'chai Bahem is the natural outcome of that. The natural outcome of a just society is our ability to live without fear of being harmed. And then that gives us the time to do other things which are perhaps more rewarding to us than things we weren't able to do before that type of society was created. Okay, everyone, that's it for the day. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening.